Our final speaker, Rabbi Yachnis, is someone that the Masifta and the Beis Medrash on a daily basis, right over here, gained so much from. His pleasant nature and his midos tovos make it so easy for us to ask him to do anything, and he always has a smile, sure. And I have the honor to hear him speak. Rabbi Yachnis is somebody that grew up in a house which is permeated with the ideals of the yeshiva, of Rabbi David, of the yeshiva, Henoch Zatzal, and Rabbi Yachnis has a very unique perspective to share with us tonight. Yeah.
Birshus, Rosh Yeshiva, and Holos Yeshiva, B'nai Yeshiva. Vayishak Yaakov L'Rochel, Vayisas Kola Vayevk. And 2 weeks ago we read in the Torah that Yaakov greets Rochel and he cries. Says Rashi, quoting Medrash Rabbah and Yalkut Shimoni, after the first pshat, Dovarachel Efi Shebo B'Yodayim Rekonios. Yaakov came. He came empty-handed. Omar Yaakov said to himself, Eliezer Eved Aviava Hoyu Yodov Nizomitz Midim McDonos. He says, Eliezer came on behalf of Avram for the Shidduch of Yitzchak. He came with goodies, came with jewelry. Vani Ein Biyodi Kulum. And I'm empty-handed. Why Lafisha Rodov Alifaz Ben Esav Mitzvah Selviv Acharav Lahorgov Yisigo? The instructions of his father Esav, Alifaz had pursued Yaakov to murder him. Lafisha Godal Alifaz Bechekel Shel Yitzchak. But since Alifaz was raised on the lap of Yitzchak, Moshach Yodo, he hesitates. He says to Yaakov, what do I do with the tzivoy of my father? He told me to murder you. So Yaakov says, Tulma shebiyodi, take whatever I have, Aoni choshuv kemes. You take whatever I have, Amanoni anoni is choshuv kemes. Rabbeisai, who are we talking about here? We're talking about Eliphaz. Eliphaz, the son of Esav HaRasha. Eliphaz, who in last week's Parsha Rashi tells us, lived with the wife of Seir, who gave birth to Timna, who later becomes his own Pilegesh. Eliphaz, who is chasing down his uncle, and not Stalman uncle. It's Yaakov Avinu, the God of Ador, to murder him. Not exactly an upstanding member of the society. Yet, at the last moment, he pauses, and he declares a shaila la halacha. What do I do? So my father told me to murder you. Kibirav. On the other hand, lo sirtzach. I can't murder. Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Meshum is going through the sugya with Yaakov. What's the halacha? What? It's Eliphaz. Eliphaz? Who we just described, Eliphaz, is asking a shaila. Why, says Rashi? Lefisha Godal Eliphaz Bechekel She Yitzchak. Because he grew up on the lap of Yitzchak. How old could Eliphaz have been in order to fit on the lap of Yitzchak? How long could he have been with Yitzchak? How long ago was it that he was with Yitzchak? Perhaps we see the power of Hashpah, power of influence is so potent that even for such a short amount of time, even for so long ago, even for someone like Eliphaz, the hashpah is so potent that it results in Yaakov Avinu remaining alive. Imagine, Rabbeisai, the potency of hashpah, influence. What if that hashpah is for a longer amount of time? What if that hashpah is for not for an Eliphaz, but for a good or a great person? What if the hashpah is for someone who is older than just young enough to sit on a lap? The Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal had the hashpah of his father, Rav David, for 21 years. And not only on his lap. Rav Yeshiva was living with Rav David. He was learning with Rav David. He was witnessing the nisyonos of Rav David. He's watching every move of Rav David. Imagine the hashpah. This picture, which you can take a better look at a little later, I have some other pictures. This picture of Rav David, his wife, and the Rosh Yeshiva, seemingly the teenage years, speaks volumes of the hashpah from Rav David to the Rosh Yeshiva. So when Rabbi Akir last week asked, as you speak about Rav David, I'm thinking to myself, my first reaction, what's a shaychus? Rav David? I'm old, but I'm not that old. I mean, I'm going to speak about Rav David? And then I thought to myself, and I don't mean to be cholok on Rabbi Luban in his introduction, I think Rabbi Luban will agree. Of course I can speak about Rav David. I'm a Talmud of Rav David. I'm a Talmud of Rav David. Am I a Talmud? How are those during our generation the Talmidim of Rav David? Because the power of Rav David's hashpah was so strong, the Rosh Yeshiva, Zatzal, was the embodiment of Rav David. So we learned by Rav David. I'm sure those of us remember how often was it, came out on a daily basis, that the Rosh Yeshiva said, my father, my Rebbe. It was a regular part of his conversation. We were listening to Rav David through the voice of the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav David was born in 1889. He came to Radin, the city of Radin, in 1903 at the age of 14. He came to Radin to learn with the Chofetz Chaim and Rav Naftali, as was mentioned. And then he joined the Slabodka Yeshiva in 1908. But for 5 years, he was in the city of Radin. Two of those years, he sat and learned with his great uncle, the Chofetz Chaim, to compile or to prepare the Mishneh Berurah Hilchos Sukkah. They learned from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day, 2 years. I don't remember if the Rosh Yeshiva said this as part of a group. We were in a shir, we heard this, or I heard it privately from the Rosh Yeshiva. What was the learning of Rav David with the Chofetz Chaim? They learned the Gemara. And if there was a Tosfos that was Minei Ubei on the Gemara, not a Bekiyas Tosfos, but a Minei Ubei Kasha on the Gemara, the Chofetz Chaim would put his hand over the Tosfos, and he would say to Rav David, okay, tell me what Tosfos Kasha is. Tell me what Tosfos Kasha is. I didn't see the Tosfos. No, if you know the Gemara well enough, then you can figure out Tosfos Kasha. It's Minei Ubei Kasha. You can figure it out. And he sat there until Rav David figured out Tosfos Kasha on the Gemara. And after Rav David did that, the Chofetz Chaim would say to Rav David, okay, now ask me to Marsha's Kasha on the Tosfos. That's why I didn't see the Marsha. But if you know the Tosfos well enough, you can figure out the Marsha's kasha, because the Marsha is inevitably in A and B in the Tosfos. Imagine learning like this from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day for 2 years. This following Maisa, I don't know if it's popular, if it went out there. I can tell you, as far as I know, I happened to be, I was zocheh to be the right place at the right time. It was during one of the yeshiva conventions. We used to go to the mountains. And we were finishing a session with the Rosh Yeshiva. I was walking out with the Rosh Yeshiva with Rabbi Feuer, Zayin Gesund, and Rabbi Kalman Winter. And there was just the three of us there. And I don't know how this conversation came about, but the Rosh Yeshiva told us that during those years after his father, Rabbi David, learned with the Chofetz Chaim, he lived in the Chofetz Chaim's house. His bed was in the room where the Chofetz Chaim learned by a table. It was Tisha B'Av, and they went to shul Tisha B'Av night, of course, to say Eicha, Kinnis. And the experience in shul with the Chofetz Chaim was rather uneventful. The Chofetz Chaim sat there, Rav David told Rosh Yeshiva. He sat there, I sat next to him, said Eicha, said Kinnis. David said, I was a little surprised. Chofetz Chaim, Churban Beis HaMikdash. He's just like saying the words, no major emotions. We went home. It was already light, late at night. Rav David told Rav Shiva that I lay down on my bed. Chofetz Chaim was sitting at the table. And he said, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed the Chofetz Chaim was looking to see if I'm falling asleep, if I'm asleep yet. And I noticed he's keep on looking, he keeps on turning around to see if I'm asleep. So Rabbi David said, I was wondering, well, why is he waiting? Why is he so concerned if I'm falling asleep? So I faked that I was sleeping. And as soon as the Chofetz Chaim saw that I was sleeping, supposedly, he said the floodgates of tears opened up. That the Chofetz Chaim rather began to cry and weep like a baby over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rav David told the Rosh Yeshiva it was such a witness of tragedy. It was so emotional, the crying of the Chofetz Chaim, that he had charata, that Rav David had charata, that he did what he did to witness that. It was so emotionally breaking that he had charata, that he faked the Chofetz Chaim, and that he had to witness that. That was behind closed doors. In public, Rav Chofetz Chaim was like anyone else. Say Eicha, you say Kinnis. This is the Hashpa. This is the influence that the Rav David is receiving from the Chofetz Chaim. Don't put on a show. When you're in public, you do what you have to do. What goes on behind closed doors is something else. At the age of 19, when Rav David is ready to leave Radin, he's equipped with a letter written by Rabbi Naftali to the Alt of Slabotka. And the letter read that Rabbi David, 19 years old, is complete as a lamdan. And the Rosh Yeshiva had told me at a later date that part of the letter read that I ask you only to work on Inyone Musar, but in terms of learning, in terms of lamdus, he's complete. Rav Shiva had told us, I believe it was us, that in Slabotka, although he was still single and rather young, the Altam Slabotka had asked Rav David, who had a beautiful, melodious, inspiring voice, to be the Baal Tefillah for a Shani Yom Kippur. Those that look at the halachas and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur should be someone who's married, had children. But the manner in which Rabbi David davened, even not being married, no children, younger age, was so inspiring that the Alter felt that that would get the people into the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. After 4 years, at the age of 23, the Alter Slabodka sent Rabbi David to learn for 6 months by Agon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rabbi Luban tells me that he heard from Rav Moshe Chait that Rav Moshe Chait had asked Rav David who at that time was the Godel Hador. And Rav David told Rashiva, I can't tell you who's the Godel Hador, but I can tell you that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is the biggest mafchin or maven in Torah. That if he hears a piece of Torah, if you tell him a piece of Torah, he more than anyone else in the generation can tell you if it's emes. He understood the truth of Torah. At the age of 33, and there are a few years seemingly missing, because he took over Rabbanus, Rav David took over Rabbanus from his father-in-law, Rav Shereshevsky, who was nifter at a young age, unexpectedly. And for 7 years, Rav David took over the Rabbanus. At the age of 33 now, in 1922, he joined the Kovna Kollel. The Kovna Kollel was under the direction of Rav Isaac Sher. If you're wondering who was in that Kollel, so this is a partial list of the familiar names. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Divrei Yecheskel, Rabbi Yosef Farber, who was a grandson of the Altam Slabotka, Rabbi Moshe Leibowitz, who was Rabbi David's brother, Rabbi Rudiman, and at some point, seemingly Rabbi Hutna. You talk about a dream team. A man just sitting and learning in a koila like that. Years later, as was mentioned by Rabbi Luban, I believe that Rabbi David had told the Rashiva that the Alta Slabotka had hinted to Rabbi David that he wanted him to join the Anhola of Slabotka. But in 1926, at the age of 39, he went on a fundraising. Rabbi David left Europe to come to America, fundraising for that kollel. And while in America, he was offered the Rosh Hashivaship in Torah Vadas, and it was not an easy decision to make. He had offers, very appeasing offers back in Europe. But with the blessing of the Chofetz Chaim, he took that position in Torah Vadas. Gentlemen, the thought of Torah in America in those days was outrageous. So much so, a friend of Rabbi David way back in Europe, and the Reshiva was still left there, Rabbi David had come himself, his Rebbetzin, his wife, and the Rashiva, somewhere between the age of 10 and 13 years old, a friend had come to the Rashiva and tried to dissuade him following his father to America. He said to the Rashiva, I can't understand your father. What is he doing? If Rav Hutna later on in America said to the Rashiva, said to Rav David rather, he said, your son will be fine learning with you here, but hide him in a room somewhere for your credibility. People are going to look at you, think you're crazy, that you brought someone from Europe to learn Torah here in America. The personal Mesiris Nefesh for Abbas's Torah, after learning with these giants in Slabotka and the Kovna Kollel, come to America and to learn with kids. Kids in America. But to Rabbi David, they weren't kids, they were B'nai Torah. And no student, however young, was ever addressed with the term du, which is a belittling form of you. Never was a Talmud frowned upon, insulted. There was a certain warmth and genuineness that made everyone feel at home. And numerous stories of Talmidim who had a problem late at night, would go visit Rav David in his house, in his apartment, and find him in his pajamas. In 1933, finally at the age of 44, Rav David founded the yeshiva name for his great uncle, the Chofetz Chaim, who was nifter that year, 1933. The hardships were great. But as we heard, Rav David forged ahead with the strength, as the Rosh Yeshiva used to say, the strength of the Rock of Gibraltar. It's the Rosh Yeshiva's language. He did everything from giving the shir to maintenance in the yeshiva and to fundraising. And how ironic it is, Rabbi Yisai, that in 1937, Rav David traveled from New York to Miami to raise funds. And from Miami, he wrote the following letter to Rav Scheinberg, who was then the Mashkiach in the yeshiva, and to the Talmidim. It's not the complete letter, it's partial of it, part of it. How painful it is to see the degradation of Torah status in general, and particularly here in America. How despised is she and forlorn. No one seeks her out, no one inquires of her welfare. How estranged she is. People relate to the abandonment of Torah as something entirely acceptable. They look at people who learn with derision and loathing. But let not this awful situation weaken our hands. To the contrary, let this cause us to recognize even more the obligation we have to strive with all of our strength to fight for the Torah and continuity of Torah with Mesiras Nefesh. And the merit of the Holy Torah will see to it that we merit to study, teach, and to spread Torah to all corners. My body is here, but my heart and soul are with you. Greetings of peace to you all. Yedidchem hamosu lachem b'chol lev, David Leibowitz. Rabbi Yisai, who could have envisioned that 80 years later there would be here in Miami, in Boca, this great Makom Torah, Rabbi David's dream come true. My father, Olav Shalom, was a musmuch at the yeshiva. Just on a personal note, Rabbi Grumblat told me a few years ago that the yeshiva had told him that he considered my father his most loyal Talmud. During the Depression years, my father grew up, and his parents, my grandparents, had moved from the Lower East Side of New York to the Catskill Mountains, and they bought a chicken farm. My father, being the oldest son, was in charge of much of what needed to do on this farm. His father had been a shoychet. My father, in his later teen years, learned shechita. And then, in discussion with the other shoychetim in town, he realized they're discussing Torah, and he didn't know how to learn. He got Kabbalah, what's called Kabbalah, the smicha for shechita, so he knew how to shecht. But he didn't understand the meanings, the depth behind the halachas. He convinced his father to leave the Catskill Mountains, come back to New York City. He's looking for a yeshiva. He's staying at an uncle's house. The first night he's there, there's a knock on the door. There's a mishulach. And my father asked the mishulach, maybe you could help me out. I'm looking for a yeshiva. And the mishulach says, I tell you the truth, aren't too many yeshivas here. But I happen to be collecting for a yeshiva called Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva. Maybe you want to try it out. So the next day, my father went and take the entrance exam by Rav David to go into the yeshiva. Father, at that time, I believe, was 21. There was one shir in the yeshiva, Rav David's shir. What would happen today, Rabbi Yisai, if someone who came for an entrance bechina yeshiva and it wasn't eligible couldn't read straight. Sorry, can't help you. Try something else. Rav David said to my father, you know what? I see you really want to learn. There's only one shir. I feel bad if I'll be wasting your time in that shir. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to set you up with a chavrusa. And I'm sure you'll learn with the chavrusa. You'll learn for a while. You'll be eligible. You'll come. We'd love to have you in the shir. And that's what my father did. He did it for 2 years. How did he support himself learning and paying the few dollars a week for the chavrusa? Friday afternoon, Rav David suggested, you know, shechita. In the east side, they shecht. Every Friday afternoon, they shecht. For Shabbos, they shecht. That's my father did. Friday afternoons, he went to shecht. He made a few dollars. That's how he made it through. He's finally ready to enter Rav David's shir in 1941, and Rav David's nifter. So my father becomes one of the few first talmidim of the Rashiva who was just about his age, 1 year difference. And the rest, as they say, is history. But it's a history of Masorah. Many other stories, of course, my father told me about Rashiva, but it's dedicated to Rav David tonight. At the age of 52, with a weakened heart, Rav David's neshama was returned to its maker. Said Rav Palm, in his death, Torah Judaism itself has lost a favorite son. In the ambulance to his final trip to the hospital, Rav David told the Talmidim with him which chapters of Tehillim to recite on his behalf. The last words on his lips symbolize the message he lived for. Quote, these were the instructions of my Rebbe. My Rebbe, the Alta of Slabotka, Yehi Zichro Baruch.